I'll go ahead and explain what we're going to be doing after our time in the Word this morning, because it's going to be a little bit different. So choir will be the ones who won't know, so we'll kind of leave them in the dark at first. But So if you look in your bulletin, you'll see that the acrostic is there. We changed it up a little bit, and it's actually CATS, which is kind of like cats and dog theology, but we're not going to be cats necessarily. So I got my kids got on me because we changed it around and it says cats instead of acts. But so we're going to have a song, and then we'll have a time of open prayer, and it'll be confession. And then some songs, and we're going to lead those songs, and then there'll be a time of adoration. And we'll go through those, and then thanksgiving, and then supplication. Supplication is just bringing our request to the Lord. And so we haven't done that before. I know in the beginning, I mean, people may feel awkward, you know, praying out loud, but there's a small group here. We don't have a lot of folks here. So you shouldn't feel awkward necessarily praying out loud, especially after we talk about the sermon this morning is going to be about anxiety and worry. And so you don't have to be anxious about praying out loud. But let's go ahead and pray before we get into the Word. Lord God, we thank you for your Word. Thank you that we can know you, and by knowing you, we can address so many of the things that we see going on in our world that seems kind of out of control. And I pray that as we enter into your Word, you would teach us, you would renew our spirits, you would cause us to be able to live at peace because of knowing you. We thank you, and we pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, would be pleasing to you, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I said, we're going to be talking about anxiety and worry. And as you look around and you see what's going on in our world, with starting from COVID into all the political chaos that's going on, all of the turmoil that we see, there's a lot of reason for anxiety and worry around us. I only want to spend a brief time, though, talking about those concepts, because I want to focus on how do we address that. And if you focus too much, I think, on those specific things, you don't then get an idea of how to address them in particular. And many of us know what that feeling of anxiety is, that feeling of worry. It can be described as a feeling of uneasiness or unsettledness. It occurs, though, because we don't know the final outcome of a situation or problem. So we're entering into a situation, you're anxious about it because you don't know what's going to happen. And many times after it, you're like, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But as humans, we don't know the final outcome. And so we have this anxiety, this angst. And many times we can worry over different things. We can worry over finances. All right, we can worry over illness, an illness that we may be having, a cancer diagnosis, COVID, all right, the fear of COVID, of getting it, or when you get it, oh no, what's going to happen? Am I going to spread it to somebody? So that can also be family discord, family uneasiness, a wayward child, there can be anxiety and worry over. So there's lots of things, and what I may worry about is different than what you may worry about and what other people in the family may worry about. So it's different, and so we can't necessarily put our thoughts on someone else, and that's why I think going into the Word is the way we need to address it. I think, though, a specific way I think the Scripture says that we need to avoid worry is by looking at the opposite of worry. What would be the opposite of worry? Joy, confidence, and that confidence is, I heard it over here, peace. All right? So peace is really the antithesis of worry and anxiety. And I think a lot of times if we look at an opposite of the actual problem, we can then know, oh wait, Let's not focus on the problem. Let's focus on what we really need to pursue, what we need to be chasing after. And I think peace is that thing. Peace is this calm steadfastness that envelops us, a restfulness, a calm of spirit, a sense of well-being. So, and I think Scripture also, you know, supports this as well. In Philippians 4 says, 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So he's saying, all right, don't be anxious. That's the problem. And then it says the opposite. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So here Scripture clearly, and Paul speaks about this, shows the problem, and then he says, well, what's the opposite of this? The peace of God that should cover over you. And we know also that the peace of God is one of the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So peace is clearly important in becoming Christ-like. And I think as we become more Christ-like, as we take on the character of Christ more and more, and more of the fruit of the Spirit, we become more complete. More like him is being complete, just like it was in the very beginning. When God made us, he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And he said that in Genesis 1:27. And so the likeness of Christ, the likeness of God in us is peace. All of those fruits of the Spirit. And as we, I think as we become more Christ-like, we actually are more at peace. You're less unsettled. You're more at ease because you're knowing, and that's what God wants you to strive for. But also, God made us that way. All right. So if you're in a car and it's a little four-cylinder car and you're trying to go 100 miles an hour, that car is going to be shaking, vibrating, and so on, because it wasn't made to go 100 miles an hour. All right. You have a car that's, you know, geared up as we said in the youth group, it's got the Chevy 350 in it, like our van going down to New Orleans. And you go, and that vehicle's made to go 100 miles an hour. It's going to go smoothly, and it's going to, you know, take off. And so it's going to be at ease doing that. And so when we become more Christ-like and we take on more of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, we then are more at peace, more at ease. So as believers, how do we gain this peace? And I want to say also that I don't believe that non-believers can actually have this peace that we're talking about. All right. So if you're here, you haven't received Christ, you haven't received his free gift of salvation, you're going to be chasing after the peace that we're talking about. You're going to be chasing, and you're not going to be able to achieve that in life unless you receive Christ. Christ is the one who can give this peace. So as believers, one of the ways I think we can gain this peace is through knowing God. All right, I want to say, first of all, we need to know God in a head knowledge. All right, we'll talk about heart knowledge here in a minute, but a head knowledge. So Deuteronomy 6:6-8. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your hearts. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and daughters, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And then in Daniel 11:32, I love this verse, the second part of Daniel 11:32 says, the people who know their God will be strong and take action. The people who know their God will be strong and take action. And so I think that verse is kind of a combination, but clearly to know God heart-wise, you have to know God in terms of how he's revealed himself in his word. How can you rest in the character of God if you don't know really what he is, who he is? How can you rest in God's promises if you don't know those promises? So many times we look at God and we think, have a concept of God, and it's the world's view of God. And when we think about God in that way, clearly it's inadequate. Clearly it's not going to bring us through difficult times. So how can you rest in God, especially a God that the way the world sees him, when tragedy hits your home? Unless you truly know what he has revealed about himself in his word, his love, his sovereignty, his justice, and his mercy. So that's the first way, knowing God, head knowledge. The other way I think we can know God and gain peace is through knowing God in terms of a heart knowledge. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So I want to focus on just those five words there, and we've talked about this actually in our Bible study. Christ, who is your life. What does it look like for Christ to be your life? I think this is knowing God relationally. Everything you do then is filtered through this relationship with Christ. Many times we look at somebody and we describe them by something that we know them by. You may say soccer is his or her life. Running, someone's into running. Running is their life. Hunting, someone's really, hunting is their life. Or their job, if they have a certain job and it's all about the job, that job is their life. What about being known as that person? Jesus is his life. Jesus is her life. What would that look like? And I think that's, if we can grasp a little of that, I think that's knowing God relationally. And then, if we know him in that way, we can be at peace in the midst of the storm. We can be at peace in the midst of a cancer diagnosis. We can be at peace in the midst of a COVID pandemic, in the midst of a wayward child's struggle, in the midst of a loved one's illness or death. So peace, I think, comes from knowing God also relationally. And I want to just share a short story that gives you a little glimpse into that. So one of our kids, and he'll shoot me afterwards, but that's okay. He was taking guitar lessons. AJ was taking guitar lessons, and so I gave it away. So at the end of each year, you would go up, and this was the first time that you would have to go up on stage in front of everybody, in front of all the parents who were watching this. And we were up there, they were up there, and things hadn't started yet, and all of a sudden, Susan and I were sitting there, and AJ gets up, walks off the stage, takes his guitar. Well, actually left his guitar, went outside. And I said, Susan, what's going on? And so I went after him, and this is the bad father part of things. Went outside, and I said, AJ, you're getting in. I said, what are you doing? Are you sick or something? He says, oh, I don't feel well. He said, I can't do this in front of everybody. I said, you are getting in there, and you are playing your guitar. I said, you've done this, you know, you've done this during lessons and so on, and then this is the really bad part. I said, you've done, and at that point, he had been playing up here for about 2 years on the praise team. Bob had brought him in, and he was playing up here. And at times, he'd do solos and so on. And so I said, AJ, this is ridiculous. You've been doing this for several years up here, and you had no problem. And now you have a problem in front of all these people. You have more people in church than are here. And he said, Dad, you don't understand. He said, when I'm at church and I'm playing there, I'm playing for Jesus, and I don't even see those people. It's all about Jesus. And he said, now it's a different story. I know in front of these people, and I wanted to crawl in a hole because I was the awful father at that point. And I was like, okay, I get it. He got, even at that young age, at 12 years old, he got the fact that knowing God relationally in that way changes how we deal with stressors. Now, that was a somewhat of a small story, but it was a major thing for him at that age. But as we know God in that way, then when trouble comes into our lives, we can we can address it. We know that we're resting in the God who we already know about this way. We know about it in terms of a heart way, and we can rest in that. So I think another way we can live with peace is by being willing to live in community with other believers. Let your guard down. Let them know that you have weaknesses, that you have issues, that you have hurts, that you have hang-ups. Let them know, first of all, so they can pray with you. All right. Let them know so that they can encourage you, but also let them know so that they can give wise counsel. Colossians 3:15 and 16 says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body." So that you're clearly, peace is connected with body, in the body relationship. "And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So, encouraging each other even here. So as we're going to be singing and praying, and Jeff has mentioned this in the past, that as we sing, many times we're singing to each other as we're singing to God, encouraging each other in this. Also, it says admonishing each other. So when we see a believer going astray, when we see them getting anxious and worried and weighed down by the troubles of this world, you need to go and talk with them, share with them, pray with them. Don't be like Job's friends and, you know, just come down on them heavy-handed. But, you know, admonish them with love, but then encourage them, come alongside them. And that only happens when we're living in community. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So that's the third. And the last thing is, of course, bringing your cares, bringing that uneasiness to the Lord. All right. You have to realize it, that you're having that uneasiness, that you're having that worry, that anxiety. Bring it to the Lord. I want to quickly share another story. You guys have heard me talk about Gary, my brother-in-law, who has metastatic pancreatic cancer. Well, he was sitting, he dropped his wife off at the store, and he went behind it. And many times, as you know, behind grocery stores, it's not the greatest place to be sitting. It can be dangerous at times in certain situations or certain places. So he went behind there, and he got it into his head that he wanted to get out, sit down on the curb, and pray. And so he's praying there. And he sees some young men, 18 to 22, 23 years old, across the street there. And they started looking at him. And there were these stakes in the ground, some surveying stakes. And I think there was about six of them. And they pulled up the survey stakes, and he sees them. And at that point, he thought, well, I'm not sure what they're going to be doing, but they look a little unsavory. So he called, actually, his daughter and son-in-law, got him on the phone. He says, "Hey, if anything happens, just so you know, this is where I am." He gave them the address, and so you can call if you hear anything going on. So the young men start walking towards him, and he prayed right away. He said, "Lord, number one, give me the words and give your protection, but whatever you have for me at this point is fine." And all of a sudden, he said, the peace of God came over him. He wasn't anxious. Before that, he was anxious. He was like, all right, this is going to be a problem. And he sees them coming towards him. He prayed. He said, the peace of God came over him. He wasn't anxious at all. They came, and they were large guys. And one of the guys sat next to him and was actually saying derogatory things to him. And he said, God came over him, and he started pointing at them and preaching at them and saying, you know what you young men need? You need Jesus. You are going to go, you're going to hell right now, and without Jesus, you're going to continue on that road, and you need Jesus now. And he just was preaching at him. He said it wasn't a fear preaching. He just was, he felt like God was telling him to do this, and all of a sudden, they dropped their sticks, and they ran. He said, they ran so quickly. He said, in like minutes. And so I said to him, I said, Gary, I said, I wonder what they saw when they were looking. Did they see a bunch of angels around you? Did they see something? They must have seen something for them to run like that. And so the peace came as he brought his request to God. You may say, well, that peace should come anyway. Well, we need to show God, number one, our weaknesses, and declare to him, back to him, who he is, and then be willing to make a step outward for him. So just to close, knowing God this way, I think, is one way you can have peace in the midst of difficult times. Knowing God through a heart relationship with him is a way that you can have peace. Being in community with other believers and supporting each other, I think, especially as you hear more and more difficult things coming into the church and so on, I think it's super important. And then, of course, bringing our cares, our concerns to a loving, all-powerful, sovereign God is clearly a way that we can live at peace. So I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. And so what we'll do, as I said, we'll have just this, the first set is just going to be one song, and then we will have a time of confessional prayer. And it can be personal, but it can also be confessing, you know, for our nation, for our world. And then we'll go on to adoration, thanksgiving, and then supplication.
Why don't we go ahead and stand?
Create in me a clean heart.
Lord God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the fact that you forgive us. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess our sins to you. Lord, I do confess that as I look at the world and as I even prepared this week for the concept of worry and studying that I am anxious and worry about things that clearly I should have presented to you. That I should have trusted in you. I pray that you would enable me to do that
more and more as I know you and as I know your protection over me and over those around. I thank you for that.